353 with the washed up walk-ons. Two of us at least. Drake is flaky, and Kevin is a professional in the real world, and he has work sometimes. One of those times was tonight. He had a quick 20 minutes or so to talk with me about this Rutgers game and a little bit about last week as well. Let's preview the Hawks game this weekend together. Let's have a day. Let's go. Welcome into episode, I said 353. Numbers are not important. Today, we have limited time with our correspondent, Stryker CEO, man who loves bread, confirmed in the chat. We're already working on a t-shirt for you, Kev, in my mind at least. Welcome to the show. And in fact, let's give you one of these.
Kevin Ward, good to see him back out there.
Kev, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, man. You know, I do love bread. Bread is delicious, and it's one of my favorite foods. Our next top five should be our five favorite breads, or grains, if you will. So you can put, like, tortillas in there and, you know, that kind of stuff, too.
Breads, bait, yeah, okay. Breads, that might get top five bread.
There's a lot of breads out there, man.
There is.
Or we can just go top three, too, if you want to.
Maybe we could go top three. Top three might be more appropriate for breads. I see a merch idea and a content idea both there. It's turn signal Kevin, although I don't hear the normal sort of background static. So are you just on the phone today?
I'm just on the phone right now.
Okay, yep. You sound incredible. So this should be, I mean, it kind of takes away turn signal Kev. I doubt the phone picks up the audio, but quick night, quick podcast. This is not going to be an hour-long preview. Kevin's got to go back to being CEO in about 20 minutes. But Kev, I first want to get your thoughts on the marathon 7-hour game, since you weren't able to join me this Sunday as I did a solo recap. What about that that Nevada game?
Dude, I can only imagine what it was like as a player. Getting warmed back up, stopping again. You know, you're playing at 1 a.m. That's tough. I mean, I don't think it takes a scientist to figure it out, but that had to be real strain on the psyche as well as on the body. But, you know, overall, obviously defense played well. Not a whole lot you can correct there, you know, a few plays here and there, but hard to correct a whole lot on top of a shutout. Offense made some improvements, I thought. I think it was really important for us to have Reggini back out there as well as Keegan Johnson. I think they're going to help open up the offense a little bit. Offensive line improved, but, you know, still not nearly where we need them to be at.
Yep. Yeah, I just came off doing the live show, and we talked a lot about that. And you know, I said I haven't gotten a chance to watch the other, you know, I've seen a few, but I'd feel pretty comfortable putting our offensive line in the bottom half of the Big Ten right now. And maybe even in the bottom third. And that is not very Iowa of us. So there's still a lot of things to figure out there. I do think that a few of the guys are starting to separate themselves. We'll go into that at a different time when we have more time. Did you see on Twitter the video of how to pronounce Nico's last name?
I did. I think I gave it a shot. I'm pretty sure I messed it up. It's Ragaini. Pronounce the A and then Eni.
Yep. Ragaini.
Ragaini.
So from now on,
it's just a mess. Come on.
Prosciutto, mozzarella, and Ragaini. It's Italian as fuck. But if that's how Grandpa Ragaini wanted it pronounced, then I'm going with what Grandpa wanted. So Is it clear to you, like it was to me, that for some reason, I mean, it's not like a mystery, but that Spencer feels more comfortable with Nico on the field?
Yeah, I mean, who wouldn't be more comfortable as a quarterback when you have two of your top three receivers back, right?
Yeah. I mean
that's, I feel like he has a little bit better chemistry than him than some of the other younger guys that he's been throwing to, but I was just happy to see him kind of open up the playbook a little bit, air it out a few times. I feel like there were some plays there that receivers could have made that went unmade.
Yep.
But hey, at the end of the day, we got the cover, and that was no one believed in that.
You son of a bitch, Kev, you got that minus 23. I don't know how you did it. I really don't.
Yeah, no one believed in that pick, but we covered it.
Right? Hey, I took the under. We got that too. So, you know, I was doing as well. Do you think, because it was very clear, and I actually heard a stat on one of the podcasts that I listened to, I try to catch up with everybody else, that before the Nevada game, we had not taken a single shot past 20 yards. That might be false too.
Cause
I think, I think Arlen might've had one catch. Oh, maybe it was 19 yards.
You know what? Yeah. The one to Arlen, like the deep,
it was
the one deep seam.
Yep.
I feel like it might've been, 20 plus yards, but
yeah. But in the first half against Nevada alone, we took seven shots downfield that were past 20 yards. And then we took a couple more in the second half. Do you see the opening of the playbook as a general progression of like, hey, it's week three, we're advancing the playbook a little bit here, we're feeling a little bit more comfortable? Or was it more so just with Nico and Keegan in the game, Spencer just felt more comfortable of like, hey, let's, or was it just the fact that Nevada's defense was bad because they weren't necessarily good?
Yeah, I mean, it could be any number of things. It could be that, yeah, you get your guys back, you feel comfortable, you know, one-on-one taking shots with and allow them to go up and get the ball. It could be that you felt like this offensive line could give enough time against this defensive line to do such a thing.
True.
It could also be the fact that, hey, not a whole lot is working for us right now. Let's just chuck it deep. And you know what Coach Parker would call those 50-50 balls?
Yeah.
Because if you're having a tough day on offense, right, You find man coverage, toss it deep to them. There's almost a 50% chance that either your guy comes up with it or there's going to be a pass interference. Or not quite 50, but that's what he called it, basically.
Yeah,
I mean, that penalty or a catch, you know, that's offense, you know. Is it that much worse than a one-yard run? Not really, right?
No, it's not. And Kev, I think I hope that the offense gained confidence. Maybe it's false confidence, but who cares if it's false or true? If they feel it, that's a good thing going into a game against Rutgers, who is at least statistically another top 10 team in the country right now defensively. I don't think they'll end there like Iowa might, but I think that Iowa's offense almost has to inject their own confidence builders with those deep balls. Like you said, it's a 50-50. I know that Coach Ferentz doesn't like to play that game of like, well, let's just hope, right? Like, or let's just play the odds. But I think with this offense, to get guys to not stack the box and just absolutely crash down on us with blitzes and guys who are leaning forward before the ball's even snapped, I think that we're going to have to take those shots and let our receivers just try and make plays. We have to do that against every team we play, or we're not going to be able to open up the offense enough to where we can move the ball. That's just my
guess. Yeah, I 100% agree with you. When you start taking some shots down the field, then those safeties think about, you know, backing up their alignment just a little bit, or not coming down super hard on running plays. Because if you know as a safety, like, hey, you got your scouting report, like, these guys do not throw deep, I can cheat my alignment in a little bit. All right. Yep. I can be a little quicker to hop on, you know, short in cutting routes or something like that. Right. Cause it's just not in this team's nature to take shots. Hopefully the film that we just put on tape on Saturday kind of prevents teams and safeties from doing that. But you have to continually put it on tape, right?
Yeah.
It's not just like, oh, they took shots against Nevada, so now I gotta back up and honor that. It's like, gotta be on a somewhat consistent basis, right?
And I would love to see, you know, we're going up again. This is going to be an accelerated episode here, so we're going to kind of shift focus to this weekend. I would love to see them do the same thing against Rutgers. I know Rutgers has a better defense than Nevada. Damn near everybody has a better defense than Nevada, but Rutgers hasn't proven offensively. And I don't know how much you've seen of Rutgers. You can talk about that in a second. Rutgers hasn't proven offensively that they're a super dangerous team. And obviously we have a pretty stout defense. To some extent, we're going to have to just trust the D, even though it's tough to go and throw those long passes and open up the air game a little bit. To some extent, you also have to, like, you know, we've got Nico and Keegan for a reason. Like, let's trust them. Let them go make a play, you know? And so, you know, for the bettors out there, guys like Kevin, who like that bread, top three coming soon, this game is opening up as one of the lowest lines in sports betting history. Did you see that?
What is the lowest line?
The lowest, at least at close, at the closing of, you know, the game starts and the line's closed. It was Missouri versus, I forget who, somebody else. And then Iowa versus Wisconsin. Those two games tied to have the lowest line at the start of the game. And I believe they're both at 34.5.
Was that Iowa versus Wisconsin last year or 2 years ago?
I don't remember. I believe it was not in the last couple of years. I actually think it was further back.
Oh, really? Okay.
However, this game,
played Wisconsin in the last couple of years, total was super low. Same with like Northwestern, 2019 Northwestern maybe.
Yes. Yeah. They weren't as low as this. They were probably hovering in the 36, 37 range. I believe this game opened up at 35.5 or 35. And Kev, we've been under three games in a row. So is this an under bet? Maybe I'm spoiling one of your picks, but, I don't know. How much time do we have with you here? How quickly should I get to the words winners? Do you even have words winners?
I've got some picks. I'm not betting the over, but the under is not in my three picks.
So okay.
If that helps anyone make their minds up.
Sure.
You know, if you just bet the under the rest of the season, I'm probably going to make money on these Hawks.
Have to.
I mean, they're 3-0 to the under already. No book can put the line in the 20s. It just can't happen, right? You can't do it.
I mean, probably not.
Yeah. But if this offense continues to struggle and this defense continues to play as well as it has, the under is going to be really profitable the rest of the year. But I'm going to stay away from it this weekend.
Okay. All right. We'll get to that. We'll get back to that in a second. I'm going to ask you a couple more questions, get your picks, and then let you off the hook, and I'll do a few more minutes by myself. First road game of the year. And as players for 5 years, 4 years actually traveling, we experienced plenty of road games. There's a little bit of variability to it. There's a reason that there's a home field advantage. And part of that is the logistics that a team has to go through. Talk a little bit about what the guys and what the team needs to focus on as they go somewhere else other than Kinnick Stadium for the first time this year.
Yeah. I think you hit it right on the head. It's not going to be the intimidating environment that Rutgers has at their stadium this weekend. It's the fact that you're traveling, you know, you're 2-hour flight, the hour bus ride, staying. I don't remember where we stayed for Rutgers, but I don't think it was a great hotel.
It wasn't. It wasn't good.
Yeah, it's just dealing with all that, which veteran football players can handle pretty well. But, you know, sometimes younger, less mature players don't handle that as well, right? You
know, been there.
Have a hard time going to sleep, you know, a hard time adjusting the time change, being ready to go on time, you know, all the like you said, all the logistics they have,
that jet lag
with jet lag. Yep.
Was there a guy in the DB room? I guess you would have been the DB or the linebacker room when we were younger, who kind of, I don't know if people go out of their way to, Casey definitely did in the specialist room for me. Casey on our first few away trips definitely was like, hey, pay attention to what's going on here. Kind of watch how this all works. Was there anybody in the DB or linebacker rooms who did that and made sure the guys were like, hey, this is how this works? Lomax.
I mean, you got the guys that just like say, hey, make sure to be early to everything, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's basically all you need to know. Just be early to everything. You don't want to be the guy that KF is waiting on to start the team meeting in the meeting room.
Yeah, I've been there. Yeah. All right. Yeah. That was, I mean, to those who haven't heard that story, maybe I'll tell it in depth as another time. The first away trip that I went on was the Iowa State game in 2013. And myself and Sean Welsh were rooming together. I don't know why they put two freshmen together on their first away trip. We were 5 minutes early to the team meal and they had already started the prayer and started without us. And it's not like they didn't notice that we were not there because they take a head count. There's like six people taking a head count. They knew that we weren't there. And they especially knew we weren't there when we walked in late after that. Fuck, that was not good. Oh, boy. Kev, let's quickly roll before we go into the picks for this week. Dude, your push, your freaking boosted pick last week, UTSA and Texas, it pushed, man. Oh my God.
Tough, man. There's like four red zone field goals too. No, you know, just one of those punches in the end zone. That's a cash.
Unreal. Great pick by you. One of these weeks, our DRF washed up walk-ons boost is going to hit. The boost this week, you'll see it on our Instagram, on our Twitter. We'll put it out as a graphic. Is the Wisconsin Ohio State under, and what was the line on that?
57.
What do you think about that game? What makes you think that there's not going to be that many points?
Well, I mean, I kind of look back at the Ohio State Notre Dame game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Only decent defense that Ohio State's really played so far, and they put up 21 points on them.
True.
You know, Wisconsin had lost a lot of guys coming into this year, but you know, well-run programs generally can handle attrition like that, right?
Yep.
So, especially when they have a system in place that they've run really well for a really long time, like they've always been a top-tier defense. So, I don't expect this game to get too out of hand. I don't think Wisconsin wins this game by any stretch of the means, but I do think that they keep it within range. And also, Wisconsin's offense hasn't looked overly stellar against the one Power 5 opponent that they played in Wazoo State.
Yeah. Cool. Well, it's time.
Kevin. Yeah.
All I do is win.
No matter what. Or we sometimes push. Occasionally. Kev, your picks for week, I guess this is week four is what they'll call it. This is your segment. Oh shit. We didn't even go over our picks from last week. I guess. How did you do last week?
Went 2-1 last week. So Hawks covered. What else do we have? Man, I'm drawing a blank. The one loss was Wisconsin versus New Mexico State. I had under in that game.
Yep.
My thesis pretty much held up that New Mexico State wouldn't score a whole lot, but
correct.
Wisconsin decided to hang 66 on them.
Yep.
And then third pick was
Georgia.
Yeah, Georgia curb stomped South Carolina. That's right.
I went 2-1 as well. And if Purdue would just figure out how to play any defense at the end of the game, I would have been 3-0 because Oklahoma crushed Nebraska. Iowa, Nevada went under 39.5, and I had Purdue to win outright on the +1 spread, and they couldn't fucking do it. But decent week for you and me, at least. I'm going to have to look at Drake's picks. I don't really remember.
I think Drake went 1-2.
I know that the
Bucks covered.
The Vikings.
Vikings did not. And then and
the Bears got
trashed.
Yep. So 1-2, 2-1, 2-1, 1-2. A better week all around. But it's week 4 now, and the people want to know, who are the picks this week?
All right. Yeah, so outside of that Wisconsin bet, I've got Georgia State +2 versus Coastal Carolina on Thursday night, short week. Always favors the home team. Georgia State's played some bigger name teams pretty tight. This is going to be Coastal Carolina's toughest game of the season yet, so give me Georgia State +2.
Okay.
I like the over in the Michigan State-Minnesota game at 51, last I saw.
Okay.
I think Michigan State's defense is suspect against any offense of quality, and this is going to be the toughest offense that Minnesota's defense has played. Good QB, good receiver there for the Spartans. I like this going over 51. That Wisconsin Ohio State under is I think it's my favorite. So
okay,
that is my three pick.
All right. Well, I'm gonna let you go and be a real productive human being of society. I will finish it out with my picks, and then we're not going to get Drake's picks on the pod tonight, but we will have them in the graphic. We'll make sure to get those. Kev, I appreciate you joining me for the amount of time that you could. Don't leave any medical instruments inside of someone's body that you're not supposed to.
That's all I do, man. That's what we put them there for a purpose.
Well, but those are supposed to go there. Don't leave any like scissors or scalpels in there.
Duly noted. Duly noted.
All right.
Appreciate that. Didn't think about that before that.
Yeah, yeah. Kevin Ward, everybody.
All right, yeah. Man. Hawks by a million this weekend.
Let's go. A quick break in this shorter episode. Apologize, by the way, for the my mic. I swear to God, this technology stuff. I'm going to sound 60 here. It's not that hard. Like, you would think that Zoom would just keep its settings the same, but every time I get on Zoom, it changes my mic input, and it sounds the same to me on the feedback, but then afterwards, it sounds different. So it gets a little bit scratchy at times. Again, sorry about that. But what doesn't get scratchy or shoddy at all is DRF Sports. They are the title sponsor of this podcast. You're going to hear us talk about it. Actually, you just heard us talk about the boost of the week last week. We pushed, oh my goodness, DRF. We almost had you. We almost came and took all the bags in that Texas UTSA game with the 61 over. We were really close with Purdue against Penn State in week one. The Navy pick in week two wasn't great. The DRF boost of the week last week was a push, and now, hopefully, Kevin has finally picked a winner. Join us with the DRF boost of the pick of the week, and you could make a bunch of money. DRF sponsoring the podcast all this year. They have been alongside us, and they will continue to be into this year, into next year through this season. Incredible people over there. We love working with them. The Boost has been a fun collaboration. We've got more collabs coming with them as our relationship continues to grow. DRF Sportsbook, use the code Radio150 right now to get a sign-up bonus up to $150. They got promos all the time. They have an incredible analytics and info system that you can use at your disposal, and they're the best. DRF Sports. We also want to thank AdCraft Custom Merch and Apparel. It might be custom apparel and merch. I think it is that one. Regardless, they've got the answers to your custom merchandise needs. Plenty of you out there have probably run into a scenario where, hey, we've got a good idea for a t-shirt. We should put that on a shirt, right? Everyone said that at some point in their life. Everyone has some good idea at some point. And AdCraft is who you call when you have that that dilemma. Who's going to print this for us? Who's going to design this? Who's going to turn our idea into life? That's what they did for us. Drake and I conceptualized several things, went through several iterations, and I've talked about them before. Their art team is incredible. You send them an idea, a rough draft, a couple of pictures to go off of. All of a sudden, 30 minutes, an hour later, and you've got what, in our case, has been a perfect representation of what we've been trying to find. Several times, those designs make it into our runs that we do with AdCraft. AdCraft web stores, custom web stores, allows you to basically create your own storefront online, which everyone knows that that's a hassle if you have to go and put that together yourself. They've got basically every step of the process covered up. And if you're just looking, if you're not looking to sell anything, they're still a great place to go because they can put together uniforms for your team, for your workplace. They can get you looking snazzy however you need it. AdCraft, custom apparel and merchandise. Shout out to them for sponsoring the podcast this season and continuing to make the Walk-On Army look fresh. There you have it. There's Kevin. I'm going to finish my picks again, sort of a lackluster episode because when you got a host that hangs you out to dry, you know, I told you 27 points from the Iowa offense probably wasn't going to be enough to get Drake back. He was back for DHT, didn't show up for the live show. Guy asks for a raise, cuts his workload. It is what it is. My picks of the week this week are going to be not the Ohio State. Sounded like that's where I was going. We are going with, let me find it because I was just looking at it. Michigan's been looking good. Offensively, I think they're scoring 55 points a game. I don't know a lot about Maryland, but I do know this. The line opened, this is Maryland at Michigan. The line opened at 15.5. It's been bet up to anywhere from 16.5 to 17. Give me Michigan at home minus 16.5 against the Maryland Terrapins. We'll go down to this is incredible. The Jayhawks, the Kansas Jayhawks are 3-0. They are receiving votes in the AP poll, if I'm not mistaken. I watched them pick apart Houston. I watched them actually be able to score points. This is the basketball matchup of the week. It's Duke Blue Devils at Kansas Jayhawks. The line is 7. Kansas Jayhawks minus 7. Give it to me. I think Kansas is feeling themselves. They're on a roll. They're at home. Duke did embarrass me against in the nerd matchup of the year to start the year against Northwestern. Hopefully they don't do it again. And if they do, I will never bet against them in my life again, but give me Kansas to cover that spread. So Michigan minus 16.5 or whatever it was, 17.5, 16.5, Kansas minus 7. And my final bet of the week, I just said that you need to bet the Iowa over or the Iowa under until it doesn't hit. Iowa and Rutgers this weekend, as we bring it back to something relevant. I did hear, by the way, that there, I believe it was on the Iowa Everywhere podcast with Chris Williams and Chris Hassel, that they are selling this thing out. It's the first night game in Piscataway, New Jersey in a long time. The Scarlet Knights are going to be juiced up. And I'm taking the over for that game. The Iowa Hawkeyes at the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. Give me the over. I'm going to scroll down here. I had to switch over to the totals instead of the spreads, but I'm going to make sure. Yep, right here. Currently sitting at 34.5. 34 at some places, 35.5 is where it opened. Give me the over on 34.5. I think Iowa's feeling some confidence that they haven't felt through the first two games, no doubt. And what, like I said, whether that's a false confidence or not, confidence is confidence. Maybe they continue to throw the ball down the field. Maybe they take some shots. They let their receivers make a few plays. The defense is obviously going to be good. I think that between these two teams, they can score. They can make it a 20-17 ball game, or a 24-17 ball game. 24-10 would be riding that line. It's a good line, but give me the over. They're not going to go under every game this year. Rutgers appears to be pretty decent defensively. I don't think they're as good as what the stats say right now. Give me the Iowa Hawkeyes, Rutgers, Scarlet Knights over. My, I was going to say culminating thoughts. That's not a thing. My final thoughts on this game. I think that it is an away game. Iowa's obviously favored by a touchdown. I think that Iowa wins the ball game. I think that Iowa needs to find more confidence, a next step up, another rung up the ladder, if you will, on the confidence flow rhythm scale or spectrum with this game against Rutgers. If Drake was here, he'd call him Butgers, which is disrespectful to Ike Butker, our boy, who plays on potentially the best team that's ever been, the Buffalo Bills, destroying people. This is honestly a team that we needed. We wouldn't have known it before the season started. We thought that we'd be better, or we hoped that we'd be better and more in sync. But at this point, losing the Cy-Hawk trophy, not being stellar, right? I mentioned in the podcast the other day, even with the 337-yard performance against Nevada, that was a good day for them defensively compared to their other games. Even at 337 yards, we'd still be 104th in the country offensively. We didn't score. We didn't gain that much in the first two games, which means we're still last in the country offensively. We don't need or want to see Michigan this week. Now, unfortunately, we get them next week. Are we ready for that? Defensively and special teams wise? Yeah, probably. I think we're ready for anybody. Can we hang for four quarters? That's another question. We'll worry about that next week. Offensively, we needed a team like Rutgers, a beatable team on the schedule, to start Big Ten play. And I know what you're thinking when I say that. Most years for the Iowa Hawkeyes, for Hawkeye Nation, we're looking at most of the teams as a beatable team. I think you'd be naive to say that with how this team's performed so far up to this point in 2022, that Michigan, Ohio State, I would even say Purdue with the recent history, even with good teams, we haven't been able to beat Purdue. And Wisconsin, I'm going to say Wisconsin until, you know, Kevin loves to say this as well, until we beat them, you can't pick Iowa against them. Those four teams right now, I don't think they're beatable with what Iowa's been doing. You take the first three games away and the Rutgers game, which is a winnable game, one that we will be favored in, which is going to be probably rare or the minority of games this season. And then you look at the other four games on our schedule that aren't the four I mentioned and aren't the four that we'll have played after this weekend. And you're looking at the West. You're looking at Illinois, Minnesota, Nebraska, and Northwestern. I think I mentioned on Sunday's podcast, I do so many freaking podcasts, I can't remember where I said it. Minnesota, through two or three games, has a top five offense and a top five defense production-wise. They probably feel like they're in the driver's seat going into Big Ten play. Northwestern, granted, it was against Nebraska. Northwestern has proven that they can score points. Fitz is a good coach. They play, you know, on the Iowa football spectrum, Northwestern out Iowa's Iowa, or Wisconsin out Iowa's Iowa, and Northwestern tries to play a similar game, but Iowa usually out Iowa's Northwestern. There's like a three-team spectrum there. but we've lost to Northwestern and played in close games against the Wildcats with good teams as well. I think at this point, Nebraska looked bad. They fired their coach. They fired their defensive coordinator. They looked worse on Saturday. I think that's a winnable game. And then you've got Illinois. Those usually, Nebraska, Minnesota, Northwestern, Illinois, those are teams that we're looking at on the schedule as an Iowa fan that are no doubt we're beating those teams. Minnesota maybe sometimes has been shaky, but there's an issue this year where that's six wins for a bowl game, unless we, again, and this is why I think the Rutgers game is one that we needed. We need to take a progressional step up here. And it's a rung on the ladder that isn't too high for this team to climb. It's about right. Sure, we've got chaos coming to town with the Wolverines next week, but this is one we can go grab and one that we can build the confidence on. So that's what I think there. Again, I just told you, I think the game goes over. Knowing that Iowa's defense will be playing in that game, if there's going to be a lot of, not a lot of points, 30, if there's going to be 35 to 40 points scored in that game, I don't think it goes too far over. I trust that the Iowa defense and special teams positions ourselves well enough for us to come out on top of that. I think the offense shows some sign of life, nothing super exciting, but nothing quite as bad as the first two games. And we escape. I don't know if we'll cover. It might be a good game, but that's where we're at. That's all I've got. We need this win. We need it bad. 3-1 going into next week is what we absolutely have to be. We are going to see if the Hawkeyes can get there in just, depending on when you're listening to this, 2 or 3 short days. The walk-ons will be back, at least two of us, to recap that game on Sunday. Enjoy your weekend. Hawks by a Millie. We love you.